The reading is from Hebrews 2, 5 to 11. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers.
Thank you, Sam, very much indeed for reading for us. Well, it's Christmas and a very happy Christmas to you all. Thank you, Dave. Good. Glad you're with me. Fantastic, isn't it? I wonder if you just briefly speak to the person next to you. We've already come up with various words by which we might describe Christmas. We've certainly said why we're thankful for Christmas. But just have a brief conversation with the person sat next to you and see what other words you can come up with that describe Christmas. How might you describe Christmas in 5 words or less? Just have a little conversation with the person sat next to you and then we'll have a little bit of a feedback in a moment. Okay, let's have a little bit of feedback. Anyone want to shout out some of the words that you would use to describe Christmas? Anyone over here want to shout out a word to that describes Christmas?
Happy.
Happy. Yes. Sorry? I got someone else shouted something over here at the same time. I was going deaf. It's my age. Christmas lights. Yes, someone over here shouted a word. Yes, at the back. Joyful. Yes. What other words do we might use to describe Jesus? I think toothbrush. Every year in my Christmas stocking, I get a toothbrush. This year, I'm thinking something else related to Christmas as well. I now actually think car wash. Honestly, if you're a man in the room and you own a car, just raise your hand if you've had the car washed in the last few days, ready for Christmas. Yeah, okay. I took our car for a wash yesterday, and the queues in just about every single car wash place around Sheffield were filled. I mean, I was looking for the shortest one, so I went round quite a few. And it's amazing how many men must have said to their wives, when they said, let's get ready for Christmas, thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go and wash the car. Well, that's what I did anyway yesterday. Here's another word coming up on the screens that describes Christmas. We sung it an awful lot of times a moment ago. It's the word glory. The word glory. The angels said to the shepherds, and they sang them a great song, and they said, glory to God in the highest. And then we had a very, we often have that famous reading from the beginning of John's Gospel where we hear these words, we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father. Now, we're going to have some visual things coming up on the screen, but I need 4 volunteers to come and stand here and here and here and here, because I've got some things under the Christmas tree, and I just need 4 people to come to the front and hold some things to help me out. Yes, at the very back, Casey, why don't you come on out and help? We'll have someone, Lucas, why don't you come and help? And Jude, why don't you come and help as well? And James, why don't you come too? Why don't you come stand here? 1, 2, 3, yeah, why don't you go in there? Fantastic. 4 volunteers. And you'll have to listen very, very carefully to me as we go. So we've got our 4 volunteers. Generally, most people can see, so that's absolutely fine. To think about that word, glory. I wonder what the word glory means. I mean, it's not an easy word to think about, is it, that word glory? If something's glorious, now someone else said this, someone cleverer than me, so I've got some help from somebody else with this. They say that if something is glorious, then you see it, you savor it, and you celebrate it. You see it, you savor it, and you celebrate it. So first of all, glory's about seeing, like the reaction that you might have to our first little gift from under the tree here. Just bear with me for one little moment. Now that is what you might say is a glorious Christmas present. Now I wonder if you could just hold that on the end. Are you strong enough to hold that? You imagine her getting a gift that is bigger than her. It really is. It's a glorious present. That is a gift to admire. You see it and you go, wow, that is an amazing gift. It's glorious. It is a glorious gift indeed. It's certainly a lot better than this one here. Now that's a nice gift, isn't it? Don't open it. There's nothing in it. You see, when we compare them, we say, wow, the first one is beautiful. It's a glorious gift. You savor it. You go, what? It's for me? It's so big. It's bigger than me. It's precious. I would never swap it for James's little gift. Who would do that? I mean, and James is thinking, I wouldn't mind swapping it for something a little bit more glorious than what I've got here. See, glory is about seeing and savoring and celebrating. She's not concentrating anymore. Would you want to really swap that with any other gift? No. If it was really had a proper nice thing in it, you'd never want to swap it. It's mine. I wouldn't swap it for anything else. That's really what glory means. And if we find something glorious, we enjoy it, we celebrate it, we'd say to everyone, hey, look at my present. It's much better than what James has got. And it really, if I was Dave, I'd write a poem. If I was Dunk, I'd write a song. If I was Joy, I'd write a play to celebrate and tell everyone else how good it was. Our Bible reading says that human beings, you and I, were given glory. Words coming up on the screen there. What is man? That is human beings, mankind. That you, that is God, are mindful of him. Why on earth would God, should God, be mindful of you and me? You, that is God, made us, human beings, a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory. This gift is given glory. Do you want to put it down so that you don't have to hold it too much all the time? There you are. Look, just put it down on and stand next to it. Guard it. Look after it. Given glory. That's what that Bible reading said, is that human beings, we were given glory. We ourselves were to be seen and savored and celebrated by God. Have a look at this photograph coming up on the screen. There is a man enjoying a wonderful, wonderful view. And no doubt he is, well, he's kind of like celebrating it, isn't it? If he had a camera, he'd take a photograph of it and he would take it and show it to his friends and say, hey, look at the beautiful desert that I was in one day. It's fantastic. And it is absolutely wonderful. But you know what? If that was Adam at the very beginning of creation, and God himself was looking at this photograph of Adam looking at a fantastic view, what would God find glorious? The view or Adam? This part of the Bible says, in actual fact, God would find Adam and Eve more glorious. See, when God created the world and the universe, he kept saying and looking at it and saying, it's good, it's good, it's good, until he made human beings. And he said, that's very good. We were, as the gift says, were given glory. But things aren't like that now. There is, secondly, a lost glory, and that's coming up on the screen, and also that's what this little gift is all about here. Lost glory. Look at the words on the screen again. It says this, God put everything in subjection under his feet. God put everything under the rule of human beings. But at present, we do not see everything in subjection under him. Things are not how they used to be. We have lost our glory. Yes, we're still a little bit glorious. Yes, human beings still rule a little bit, don't we? I mean, I was a famous comedian on the telly once who was talking about dolphins being amazingly, wonderfully intelligent. But he said this, the thing about a dolphin is they can't make hummus. The thing about a monkey is they're fantastic and very intelligent, but they can't make a smartphone. So there's a sense in which human beings, we've still got a little bit of glory. You can still see this is a gift, and it's a little bit shiny, but it's crumpled. It's lost. It's broken. Christmas is wonderful, but it can also be terrible. Here's another picture coming up on the screen. Christmas can remind us of our sin, our selfishness, our greed, our gluttony, our envy, our bitterness. Family rifts can all come out at Christmas time, can't they? We were made to be glorious, but now often we are ruled over by sin. And I don't know if you're a bit like me. When I see pictures of Black Friday, I find myself going, isn't that terrible? Tut, tut, tut. But me, my own heart, Christmas morning, I can be just like that picture. It's just that you don't all see it. Christmas can bring out the worst in us. We were made for glory, lost glory, but our Bible reading says that that isn't the end of the story. There is Jesus' glory. Look again at the screen. The verse is coming up there, but we see him who for a little while, for 33 years, that's Jesus, was made little lower than the angels. God became a human being just like us, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. He perfectly had the glory that we lost because, the verse goes on, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So I've got a third Christmas present, and Lucas has been very, very patient and waiting for it there. So let me get this third gift out. Way. Look at that for a gift there. Fantastic. And this gift really is the gift of God to us. It is Jesus' glory. Given glory, lost glory, but God sends his own Son into the world and shows us his own glory in his Son, Jesus Christ. A gift to savor, a gift to celebrate that we are celebrating today. The Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. But I want you to just look at the screen again, because there's a bit of a twist. Go back to the words. It says, talks about crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering and death. Well, we don't find death very glorious, do we? Who savors death? Who celebrates it? Who goes, wow, that's cool? I don't. We don't, do we? This verse is saying that God in Jesus takes the very thing that is the opposite to glory, the most unglorious thing, and he turns it right round and makes it glorious for us in Jesus. Let's have the next picture up there. See, that's the twist. And this is what makes death glorious. It's the death of Jesus. Come back to that first gift. We said, would you ever give that away? Would you ever swap it? No, well, here's a gift that you would never, ever swap. Here's a gift that you'd say, wow, for me, Jesus died for me? Yes, he did. And we would never swap that for anything in the world. We can't help celebrating. We can't help partying, singing songs. And we can't help saying, let's go and tell a few other people. He died for everyone. So the Bible verse says, died for everyone, including you and including me. Well, we've got one last present here, Jude. Thank you very much indeed for being very patient indeed. See, there's another surprise going on here. Another wonderful gift to celebrate at Christmas time. Christmas glory. So we've got Jesus glory. And this last one here, Christmas glory. See, I didn't quite get the size right. Am I right in there? I had to make it up as I went along. Christmas glory. Look again at the Bible words up on the screen there. For it was fitting that he, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder, that is the pioneer, the trailblazer, the pathfinder of our salvation, perfect through suffering. That's why he's not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. What's that saying? Next picture on the screen. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these programs by Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls, at certain points in his programs, becomes a little bit of a trailblazer. He goes off into the jungle with his very, very sharp knife, with a celebrity, and he takes the celebrity to do all sorts of frightening things they've never done before. Will they survive? They might come across a really, really thick bit of jungle, and what does Bear do? He gets out his knife, and he cuts his way through the jungle to the other side, and the celebrity follows him through. See, Bear Grylls blazes the trail. He finds a way through for the celebrity to follow. And that's what our Bible says that Jesus did when he died on the cross. He blazed the trail. He cut through the jungle. He cut through death to get us to the other side. To what on the other side? Our verse says, bringing many sons to glory. He's not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Jesus blazed the trail through death so that we could follow him and join his glorious family. Next year there's going to be a wedding. And no doubt we will hear an awful lot about Meghan Markle getting married to the prince. Not many of us can join what might be, some would say, is perhaps the most glorious family on earth at the moment, the British royal family. There aren't enough princes around for the ladies to marry. There are not enough princesses around for the men to marry to join such a family. But it's amazing, isn't it? Let's have the next picture up. There's a bunch of folks excited looking at an amazing view and being thrilled by it. Whatever it is they're looking at, it's not on the shot because I wanted us to focus on them. Because God looks at us. And he sees members of his family. He sees us glorious again because of what Jesus has done for us. He welcomes us into his wonderful, wonderful family to be his children. Glory is about seeing and savoring and celebrating. It's about becoming brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate today. Jesus was born so that you could join his family. Isn't that amazing? That you can actually call Jesus your brother. That if you join his family, he calls you brother or sister. That is astonishing. Glory. Do we not see it? Glory. Do we not savor it and say, isn't this precious? Isn't this valuable? Do we want to celebrate and say, this is stunning and this is amazing? Just want to quote as I come to an end. Charles Spurgeon was a famous Baptist preacher back about 100 and a bit years ago. And he said this, one grain of faith in Jesus is worth more. Listen to this. One grain of faith in Jesus is worth more than a whole diamond that is the size of the earth. In fact, he goes on and he says, if you took a string of diamonds, the size of the earth, and the number of which was as many as the stars in the sky, diamonds the size of the earth that numbered the stars in the sky, he said it wouldn't even compare with an atom of the size of the faith that put you into God's family so that you could call Jesus your brother and know that he calls you his brother or sister. Given glory, lost glory, Jesus' glory so that we might have Christmas family glory. What a thing to celebrate. May you have a happy Christmas. May we all have a happy Christmas. May we have a genuine, glorious Christmas. We're going to sing our final song. Big round of applause for my four helpers. Brilliant. Really helpful. Thank you very much indeed. Good on you. Let's stand and let's sing our final song. Hark the Herald.